So that's what we like to do on this show. Find the comedy gold. I just like
non-fungible as a word.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful, it just has a good mouth feel.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with producer on the board, Jane Madnair. And it is that time of a week of the week, because it is Thursday, that we welcome Dr. Kristen Lyerly to our program for our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement, where we talk about women's health and anything else that was kind of in the headlines that we can have a doctor's input on. How you doing, Dr. Lyerly?
I love it when you say it was that time of the week.
I didn't realize I did that. Now I will emphasize it even more.
So good. I'm so good. How are you?
Good. Good. I've told Jane, I think I'm still in the sweet spot of pregnancy, but this week I have kind of felt like I got hit by a truck a little bit. So I don't know if that's normal for 24 weeks, but body's been like achy and it's been harder to stand for longer periods of time. I'm starting to get like the pins and needles. Is this normal of like in the same, like it's not as strong when you sit on your, like I'm a big fidgeter. I sit cross-legged a lot, like, and I'll sit on my foot sometimes when I'm sitting on a chair, which then inevitably means 20 minutes later, my foot is very asleep. But that feeling as the blood starts to go back to your foot or whatever other body part that falls asleep, and sometimes it's really painful. And what's happening this last week, it's not as painful as when your foot's actually asleep, but it's just like I get these little like twinges of like pins and needles in like the back of my legs or my feet. Is that normal?
It could be.
Or it could not probably be. So maybe I need to see my doctor.
Is it one side or both sides?
It's more on my left side than my right.
Uh-huh. It could be pins and needles, could be blood flow, it could be nerves. It's not unusual as your body is, like your orientation is changing because you've got this extra little parasite in front of you. So it tends to change the way that you hold yourself. So sometimes there's a big nerve that runs through your pelvis called your sciatic nerve.
Yeah.
You might be familiar with it. Sometimes that can get pinched and it can cause those kind of tingly feelings, and it can also cause a lot of pain. So it could be something as simple as, you know, a nerve is getting compressed, or it could be just what you mentioned with like if your foot falls asleep and maybe blood flow isn't getting to that specific area. Does it help when you get up and move around?
It's usually after I've been up and moving around. So like the first time I really was noticing it was on Sunday during the Locust Street Fest. And eventually I was like, I can't be on my feet anymore. I'm going home at like 8. And as I was laying and just relaxing, I kept being like, oh my God, like what's going on with my feet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hard to say. It could also be nutritional. Sometimes if you, are you taking a prenatal vitamin?
I am.
So important. And I suspect that you probably are a pretty healthy eater, but you know, maintaining. I shouldn't assume.
Do Skittles and Cheetos fall under the healthy eating umbrella?
I've actually eaten way less Skittles than when I was, before I was pregnant. What I have eaten a lot is those chewy granola bars that you bought for the studio.
Well, that's not terrible.
I think I ate that entire box by myself in the last week. No, I eat pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, I'm recommending fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
I've been eating
like a watermelon a week. Does that count?
Oh, that's how you got to look like that.
But no, overall, I am feeling pretty good. But, you know, that's I'm sure it will continue to change. And you're here to help us.
And, you know, it's always an option to go talk with a chiropractor who is skilled in taking care of pregnant women, make sure that they're comfortable taking care of pregnant mm-hmm. women, because our bodies are different when we're pregnant. Our joints are looser. Our orientation is different. They need to have an actual table. If you're going to be laying on your belly, a table that can accommodate your growing belly. So, you know, chiropractic care can be very helpful in situations like this. So that might be something to explore.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. let's get to some headlines from the week as far as health headlines. So this week, FDA panel recommends RSV shot to protect infants. So RSV, I feel like we heard a lot about this in the last year, like going into cold season last November, December, RSV was like a huge issue. But this isn't a new virus, right?
No, this virus has been around forever. It's a terrible virus. And it was part of the triple-demic. Remember the triple-demic last year with COVID and flu and RSV? Yeah, this is a bad virus. And it's really, really bad for little kids. So in a typical year, up to 80,000 children are hospitalized with this virus, and up to 300 little kids die because of it. So this is a really devastating virus, and we have a treatment. I mean, we've had a treatment for a long time, but it hasn't been for everybody. It's only been for high-risk populations, and it's required multiple doses. This is a game changer. An FDA panel, not the full FDA, but just that preliminary panel, unanimously approved this shot for infants who are born or entering their first RSV season. So these are the tiniest of kiddos, but those tend to be those who are most affected.
So is this the V word? Is this a vaccine?
It is a V word vaccine.
So is there going to be pushback of people who don't want to take it? But how effective is it?
Super effective. It's like 80% effective. And if you've ever had a kid with RSV, you'll be begging for this because it is miserable. They can't breathe. It is so scary. I was in the hospital with my oldest son who had RSV and was suffering, and just watching him struggle, I would have done anything to help him. So I get it. I understand that a lot of people are really reluctant, but I would encourage everyone, as you're considering vaccine recommendations, look at the risks and benefits and make a really educated decision for yourself and for your family. Don't get sucked in by all of the political badness. Mm-hmm. Like, truly think about your health and what science is telling us.
So what's next? Because this isn't something that necessarily could this be approved by the next RSV season, which I'm assuming is in the fall?
Yeah, I think it will. So it looks like they're going to come out. The CDC, it's kind of this long process where it has to be approved by the FDA, and then the CDC looks at it and they decide how it fits into the schedule. So we anticipate that the CDC will take it up in August. And this is something that is for babies, but they're also looking at another vaccine for moms, for pregnant moms. Yes, we do this with a vaccine. You may not have gotten to that point yet, but it's called the Tdap, the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. Have you had this conversation already?
I literally, this is a separate thing. I went to go check because this is a separate pregnancy thing that we can get into later if we have time. But I'm at 24 weeks and I was told I'll start to feel kicking at 23. So of course I immediately got a little paranoid that I haven't felt any kicking yet. So I went to go see my doctor yesterday and I saw her kick. She's fine. But she mentioned that. She's like, all right, like, it's not time for your, what,
Tdap.
Tdap? It's like a dub. It's like a dab. I think that's coming up soon-ish, but it was not time yet. So that was all I've heard about it since. So that's a vaccine that I will get.
That's a vaccine that has been approved for a long time. We do that one. So like I said, it has three things in it: tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. Pertussis is whooping cough. Okay. And we give that one to pregnant moms with every pregnancy because it's not for you. It's for the baby.
Got it.
The last thing you want is for your baby to develop whooping cough. And if we vaccinate you, you send those antibodies to your baby and your baby is born with that very effective immunity.
Got it. All right. Well,
so we have a similar vaccine in the pipeline for RSV.
For RSV. Okay. Good to know. All right. You're listening to Public Service Announcement on As Goes Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And we're going through some health headlines from this past week. And this next one, because it was within the last month that we were talking about the miracle drug of Ozempic and how it, Ozempic being meant for and approved for diabetes, type 2 diabetes management, but lots of people, especially lots of celebrities, using it for weight loss. And then there was headlines around how people who were taking it were also just seeing huge declines in like compulsive behaviors, and that this could be something as far as like addiction and how it could curb addictive behaviors. But we were all waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it sounds like maybe it has.
Well, everything has risks and benefits.
Yes.
You know, like there's no silver bullet. So there are risks associated with Ozempic. And to be very clear, Ozempic and Wegovy are both the same medication. It's a semaglutide. They work the same way. We give them a little bit differently, but Wegovy is approved for weight loss.
But only
for people who are obese, which means that your BMI is 30 or higher, or overweight with other comorbidities. So it is FDA approved for weight loss when it's given a certain way.
So why are so many people taking Ozempic then? If it's basically the same drug and with different names, but it seems like Ozempic is like needed by people who are actually managing their type 2 diabetes, why are so many people taking one versus the other? And why does...
There's also Mounjaro, which is another very similar.
Who's in charge of coming up with drug names? Like, I feel like I don't know what takes more creativity. The person who comes up with drug names or the people who come with like lipstick colors.
That's true.
Yeah. Naming things is hard. I bet that person makes six figures.
And maybe that's why they stick with Ozempic, because it's got kind of a snappy name.
Yeah.
And it's the one thing that people think about, like Ozempic equals weight loss. But when you look at these medications, it's not, like I said earlier, it's not a silver bullet. It does work really well for weight loss. It is probably the best thing that we have out there.
Interesting.
But it causes nausea, stomach pain, constipation, diarrhea. 10% of people who use it can't tolerate it, and they end up having to stop it.
Oh, interesting. And it's leading some people to go to the hospital?
So it's a little tricky, because sometimes it's hard to know whether the side effect that they are dealing with is related to the Ozempic or related to an underlying medical condition, like, for example, pancreatitis or gallbladder issues, which can go along with being heavier. So, you know, if you are obese, you are more likely to have issues with pancreatitis or your gallbladder.
All right. Well, Dr. Kristen Lierley will still be here when we come back. If you have any questions for her about your health or in general, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we'll still be here after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What I was expecting.
I was going to say, what music is this, Jane?
I stole something from Devils, and it said Dr. Feelgood, and I thought it was Aretha Franklin. And so I just grabbed it, that was not Aretha Franklin.
Who was it actually? I guess we don't know.
Motley Crue.
Look, Dr. Lierley knows.
Were you a Motley Crue fan? Are you still a Motley Crue fan?
No, I'm a Duran Duran kind of gal.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Vetnair, and we are talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley for our weekly segment of Public Cervix Announcement, where we answer questions about women's health or health in general, and also run through some headlines that you may want a little more doctor's input on, including, you know, the very popular drug right now, Ozempic, and Wegovy. They pronounce it right. Mm-hmm. And
good work.
You know, which a lot of people are interested in, because as you just said in the last segment, Dr. Lierley, it is the most effective weight loss drug we have right now. But doesn't mean it doesn't come with side effects, which we're starting to understand.
Yeah, some of the side effects you would expect, like, you know, what doesn't have the side effect of nausea and vomiting and that kind of stuff. But how about this one? Malnutrition.
What?
Because it's so effective that people forget to eat.
So is it, because I, it's interesting mm-hmm. to me because I am not taking it now, but in before pregnancy, I have ADHD for the last 10 plus years. I've been taking Adderall, and like that certainly sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes you forget to eat because it is something that's certainly, however it works, like crushes your appetite. And mm-hmm. is that a similar reason as to what, like how Ozempic and Wegovy are working as far as like where it, like it does like with your like mind tricks as far as like, oh, just focused on other things.
Yeah, different mechanism. It is an agonist at a certain receptor that just causes you to feel full, and it also causes your stomach to empty more slowly. But you know, when you're not thinking about it, it reduces your cravings and it reduces overeating. So when you're not thinking about food all the time, like most of us are, you just kind of forget. And then people get, have you heard of Ozempic face?
No.
Oh, Ozempic face is when you've lost a lot of weight and then your face starts to look kind of like hollow, like Madonna before the plastic surgery.
Well, isn't that also a surgery that people are getting now to like remove the, what is it called? The buccal fat from your cheeks to have like the very chiseled, like high cheekbone look. Isn't that something people are actually paying to get right now?
Yeah, people like Ozempic face in some ways, not in others. I guess if you could be selective about where you lost the fat from your face, that would be helpful. But you don't get to choose. You just lose the fat and then you end up like, you can end up looking like Mitch McConnell, like droopy dog.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you have enough like tissue in your face, it helps with like the wrinkles, right? Because your face is more full versus the skin just hanging off of the bones.
Uh-huh. So then, you know, you take the Ozempic for the weight loss if you're a celebrity, and then you have to go see a plastic surgeon to get the fat put back on your face. Like, it's a whole cycle. So be prepared for that.
Anything else people should know as far as Ozempic or Wegovy?
Yes. If you have an underlying eating disorder, which many of us have had in the past, mm-hmm. this can actually exacerbate your eating disorder because you haven't treated the underlying problem. So if you do, make sure, I mean, always, regardless of whether you're going to take Ozempic or not, this is so important to get treated because, you know, eating disorders have so many other side effects and problems associated with them.
All right. Well, good to know.
You scared me off Ozempic, but good.
I was gonna say, were you ever sold on Ozempic?
No, I'm very leery of those kinds of things. Having gone through innumerable weight loss programs over the years, and then the last thing that I was offered when I was working for a different station was this Cool Sculpting. And I thought, you know, they describe it and it's all miraculous and it's all perfect and you're going to, and it's like, but no one tells you, again, what can be some of the problems down the road. And now we're learning more about Cool Sculpting is not good for you. Liposuction is not good for you. And you can remove the fat cells that were annoying you, but when they come back, they're going to go someplace else.
Mm-hmm. And when something like this is new and trendy, you don't know what the long-term effects are going to be. So what happens when you go off of this medication? Are you going to gain all that weight back? Yeah. We don't know. We don't have long-term data.
So I guess instead of moving on to the last headline, which I think we'll keep for next week, because we only have 2 minutes left with you. From your medical expertise, at what point is it advisable to do something for lack of a better word, not natural, to try to lose weight? So either take a pill, what is the trade-off between just like bodies can be healthy at any size, so long as you're working out and you have a healthy diet, like you can be still healthy even if your BMI is higher than average, et cetera. But like at what point do you actually advise having more tools in your toolbox for someone to try to lose weight?
There are clear guidelines about this.
Okay.
Weight loss medication or bariatric surgery are indicated if your BMI is 30 or higher, or if your BMI is 27 or higher and you have medical comorbidities like blood pressure issues, diabetes, those things that we know go along with overweight and obesity. But you know, the hardest thing I've found in talking with people is it's just hard to talk about this because when you are struggling with your weight, like many of us have in our lifetime, there's a whole other bunch of feelings and emotions mm-hmm. that you have to unpack in order to actually get to the medical piece here. It's tough.
It is tough because I also think that there's a huge gap between health reasons to lose weight and societal, mm-hmm. I'm trying to look a certain way to lose weight. And there's people mm-hmm. who would seek additional help. It's like, you really don't need to lose any weight. You're just not supposed to be a runway model. But that
normal BMI is 18 to 24. If you're in there, you're perfect.
All right, Dr. Lyerly, thank you as always. It's always fun to have you here. We will have you back next week for more health headlines and probably more pregnancy questions from me. But thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, ladies. I always love hanging out with you.
All right, when we come back, what's the weirdest name or most unique name you've ever come across? Or did you grow up with a unique name? We would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Somebody give me a... Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And as you might imagine, I have been thinking about names.
Baby names.
A fair amount. And naming a kid, as they say, you'll never realize how many people you didn't like in high school until you try to name a child.
And then something that the two of you can agree on.
Something that the two of us can agree on. And there's also, you know, I would say an increased amount, and this is not new, of a desire to have, you know, an individual name, you know, a name that hasn't necessarily been that popular or that trendy, so you don't end up with a bunch of kids with the same, what you thought was a unique name, but it's like, oh, you were not alone in thinking that that was like Harper, I think is some of the really popular ones right now. But also like, what is too far?
Too unique.
What is too unique? And you know, that is a subjective statement to each their own. But as far as just having the conversations around, like, did you personally grow up with a very unique name? And if so, we would love to hear from you as far as what that was like, how much that did create and part of your identity of having a really unique name. And if not, if you are a Jane or a Kristen, pretty standard, you know, names.
Pretty basic names.
What is the most unique name you've come across in your travels? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And, you know, I said this the other day. I really, this will probably not be the name, so I don't feel bad saying it on air. But I like the name Penelope.
Okay.
And to call her Penny.
Okay.
But Mike doesn't like that name. But I said that to one of my girlfriends, and she said something along the line. She's like, I like that because it's like unique enough, but it's not like scarring. And the story that always pops up for me, and this could be an urban legend at this point, because this feel like this is a story that is like three people removed. But my mom always told this story about her friend who had another friend who worked as a like physician's assistant or one of the nurses in a pediatrician's office. And she went out for a new patient. And she looked at the names of the kids to bring in. And she was like,
She didn't know how to pronounce them.
No. And she thought she knew, but she was like, this can't be it. So then she tentatively and like, you know, she just kind of like graciously said orange jello and yellow jello. And the mom stood up and said, Arangelo and Yolangelo. And she was like, okay, got it. And so, you know, but it looked like on their patient sheets, orange jello and yellow jello. But no, it was Arangelo and Yolangelo.
Wow.
And so, and I, another really good one is, how would you pronounce L hyphen A?
La.
LaDasha.
Okay.
Because it's a dash.
Oh.
So would love to hear some of the most unique names. And this is not to make fun of unique names, because there's also some that are, you know, when we think of Gwyneth Paltrow naming her kid Apple.
Which is a stupid name.
You're going to be judgment. I knew you were going to be judgy about that.
That is such a stupid name.
I'm not here to be judgmental, but I do want to talk about the effects of having such a unique name, the good and the bad. 844-967-2789. Do you have a unique name, and what was it like to grow up with it? Or would love to hear stories of unique names you have come across in your life. 844-96-PARTY.
Joining us from Texas, it's Price.
Hey there.
Hey, Price.
Is Price, would you consider Price a super unique name? Did you get made fun of it growing up?
Like Price is Right?
Yeah.
That's what I got all my life.
Did you ever come up with a good comeback?
I just sigh. I just say, yes. It's kind of funny when they do the, you know, when they do the Billy, not Billy Madison, but Happy Gilmore, The Price is Wrong.
The price is wrong, B.
Right. But actually down here, like the E-I-G-H names are off the hook. People do that way too much. Like Kate, people are spelling their names K-E-I-G-H-T down here. Or what? Caitlin, K-E-I-G-H-T-L-I-N-N, K-L-Y-N-N-L-Y-N. Like former disgraced Packer Brett Favre, his like daughter's name is like Braylon, and her name's B-R-E-I-G-H-L-E-N or something like that. But
and I think there's something with that. It's like having a name that is fairly common, but then just giving it a super unique spelling that's almost more egregious, because it's like no one is ever going to spell that kid's name right, because they're going to assume it's the other way.
Right. I've seen a Bailey. B-E-I-G-H-L-E-E.
Oh, gosh.
Like, come on.
Come on. But do you like your name now? Like, maybe as a kid, was it hard?
Yeah,
but now
yeah.
It's...
When I was a kid, it was tough. Like, hey, how much do you cost? LOL. And I go, okay. But yeah, I mean, the older I get, and then you see, back in the 80s, there was a Price that was a race car driver. An old governor of Texas was actually a Price Daniel, and he wasn't the best, but at least he was like a water conservationist, so I was on board with that.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks so much for the call, Price.
That's great. Awesome. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Carol from Madison is joining us. Hey, Carol. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
So do you, I'm guessing you, Carol is not that uncommon, but do you have an uncommon name that you've come across in your life?
Yeah, I have a cousin whose father was Greek and his parents actually came over from Greece, and her name was Chrysanthi.
Chrysanthi.
And it was spelled C-H-R-Y-S-A-N-T-H-E.
God, the Greeks love their consonants.
Yes. That's a pretty name, though.
It is really pretty. What did she have a nickname then that she went by?
She grew up being called Santhi, but now she just goes by Chris and spells it C-H-R-Y-S.
Did she struggle with that as far as growing up here with such an ethnic sounding name?
She actually grew up in La Crosse, and yeah, when she could tell when teachers got to her name, you know, like first name and last name were both ethnic. So it was, she said she, when she saw them just kind of looking, she would say it's.
Yeah. Like it's the pregnant pause of being like, yeah. It's Chrysanthi. I got you. I know I'm probably next because it's alphabetical. That's really interesting. I think that brings up a whole other conversation. Thanks so much for the call, Carol. As far as unique names that are cultural, like not unique in the culture that they come from.
Sure.
But being first generation, you come here and people look at your name. Like I think of my some friends, and like it just looks like a lot of consonants. And like once you learn how to say it, it's like we all can
it's
say
not a problem.
We can all say Antetokounmpo now, right?
More or less.
More or less. But like for the most part, we can all say his name because we've just practiced it enough. But when you first look at it, you're like,
whoa.
What order do these consonants and these sounds? Talk about learning how to read phonetically. You're like, is this the right way that I'm supposed to do it?
Seriously.
Your parents think it's a very normal name because that's the culture that they come from. But yet then when you come here growing up in America and feeling like, oh, I'm just going to have a different nickname so everyone can pronounce my name correctly.
Just call me Bob.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jeff from Milwaukee. Hey, Jeff, what do you want to share with us?
Hey, Kristen. Hey, Jane. So my best friend from grade school, who I'm still friends with since, like, we were five and we're in our late 50s, my buddy's got an older brother. He's a hippie farmer from rural Stevens Point. And he and his sister-in-law had three kids in the late 70s, two boys and a girl. They named their first boy Forgiveness, and
okay.
then the second boy's name was Deliverance,
oh.
and then their daughter's name was Amnesty. And those are still, to this day, the oddest names I've ever heard, and when I see my friend frequently, I'm asking about his nephews and his niece, and he tells me that they go by their first initial and then their middle names, which are common middle names. So that's basically how they got.
Because how old are the kids now?
Well, they were all born between like 78 and 82, so 40.
So they're adults.
In that range? Yeah, oh yeah. And they're all doing really well in life. But they all went through life basically using just like Forgiveness. It was like F and then William is the middle name and then their last name. But those are their names, Forgiveness, Deliverance, and Amnesty.
Deliverance is an awful lot to hang around a little kid's neck.
Deliverance, especially because you think of the movie and you're like, well, this is a lot. But that is...
Exactly.
That and do the parents themselves have any regrets of naming their kids that you know of?
No, not at all.
Wow.
No, not at all. They're still hippie farmers. They still live in like Junction City, which is west of Point. And they're in their 70s now, but they're still, you know, they're super proud of what they named their children. It was just kind of their thing.
That is super. Well, at least it's a conversation starter. Thanks so much for the call, yeah. Jeff.
844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Did you grow up with an unusual name? Do you know someone? Do you have a favorite unusual name? Rob from Port Edwards joining us. Hey, Rob, what do you want to share?
Good morning. I have three beautiful grandsons. The oldest is going to be 10 here in August, and they're a span of 3 years. The first one's name is Owen. The second is Otis, and the third is Obi. And there's all reasons for each of their names, you know, that there's a backstory behind each of the names, but we call them the O.O. brothers, and for the chaos. Yeah, in fact, at one time I built them a workbench, and I made up a placard for the back of the workbench saying the O.O. brothers demolition on request kind of a thing.
Oh, I love that.
And they're just little gorillas. Yeah, they look like the names that they are. They're just cool kids.
I feel like you could also call them the O-line, like an offensive line.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could. Yeah, they're remarkable, and they're all the O's, and all three amigos walk to school every day, and it's an instant hockey team.
It's an instant, yeah, there for go. Sure, no, absolutely. It's, so it's Owen, Otis, and Obi. I like those actually.
Yes,
Obi is probably the most unique.
Yeah.
Otis and Owen, I've certainly heard before.
They each are individuals. And their name fits their personality in a offhanded way, but Obi is the charmer. He's Opa's favorite. Don't say that. Don't tell him that.
He's the youngest. He's of course.
He's disarming. Yeah, he's six now, and he's amazingly disarming. He can get into the mischief and walk away, you know, with his little angelic halo on, and yeah, we're good.
That's
have
awesome.
Have a lovely day, ladies. Good
you,
show.
Have a lovely
you too,
day, Robbie. You too, Rob.
Thank you so much.
That's really funny. I like O-line. I think that's
O-line
really funny.
O-line, they're the O-O boys. I could see that too. That's all perfect.
So we're talking about, as I don't think we'll do anything crazy unique. Like, I'm not trying to come up with a name that no one's ever been named before, but, you know, having
something a little special.
A little special. I actually, I'm very partial to, since we know we're having a girl, names that, like, girls' names that also can be shortened to, like, boy nicknames. Like, I have a girlfriend who named her daughter Georgia, and she calls her George.
Okay.
You don't like that?
No.
You're so judgy.
Yes, I am. And Apple is a stupid name.
It's not a stupid name.
It's a piece of
fruit. I think the name Elon Musk, I can't even pronounce what Elon Musk named his kids.
That's intentional.
And so we'd still love to hear from you. Did you grow up with a unique name? Do you know someone with a unique name? What's the balance between individualism and not scarring your children? 844-967-2789. We got to take one more break. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about growing up with a unique name or naming your kids something very unique, because I am obviously, think every, you know, one of the five questions everyone asks right now is how are you feeling? When are you due? Have you started thinking, what is it?
What is it?
Are you finding out the gender? And then inevitably, I forgot what the other one is, but then it's have you started thinking about names? And we have not come up with anything.
We haven't landed yet,
but I would like something unique enough that it's not super common, but also not necessarily so unique that they are
scarred for life.
And so, telling stories or asking for your input of what it was like to grow up with a weird name or a unique name. Or anyone you know with a unique name.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. Andy, joining us from Madison. Hey, Andy. What do you want to say?
Yeah. So I'm hearing your conversation, and we named our kid a fairly unique name, I think. But it's not, I don't think, like, scar-worthy. We named him Hendrix.
Hendrix?
Yeah.
So Hendrix, like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
I actually really like that. Because I like the name Henry. Yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's close enough. But he's also probably always going to be the only one in his class with a name like that. And so what I've noticed, he's in preschool now. And, like, every kid has a pretty unique name.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's not a whole lot of Johns or Pauls or Peters or anything. It's like one of our friends named their kid Atticus.
That's a classic.
I dated an Atticus, and he was very proud of his name.
Was he really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a classic.
He was so pretentious.
Just because you're named Atticus doesn't make you Gregory Peck. Nice try.
But I like Hendrix, although once he gets to drinking age, people will probably start asking him if he was named after the gin.
They already do. I didn't really expect that. It's like, oh, is it a TKS or an X?
Well, very funny. Well, I like that name. I think that's still, it still sounds like a name. Unlike, you know, thanks so much for the call, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
We kind of stumbled upon this because there was a Vice article talking exactly about this, is what it's like to grow up with a weird name. And they were talking to a kid named, like, someone who's now 27, but someone named Merlin, and all the jokes that they got
Merlin,
as a kid.
Merlin is a tough, tough thing.
Merlin's tough. There was also Gandalf from Holland. They would ask him if he was a wizard and whether or not he'd grow a gray beard.
Well, of course.
They talked to a woman named Plum, who is 19 right now. She said, I hated my name when I was younger because kids are just a-holes. And she's from New Zealand. Kids would eat plums and say, oh, my God, I'm eating you.
Oh.
But there's one guy they talked to named Biker.
His name is Biker.
His name was Biker because his dad loved bikes. And now he loves bikes. And so he made it part of his identity from a young age. And he goes, I probably wouldn't be as into motorcycles without my name. And so I do think that that's interesting as far as, like, if you have a really unique name, how much that comes into, like, a huge part of your identity. Because if you grow up kind of having, you know, I remember, I think one of the first Am I the Sphincters we did was on a young, like, 16 or 17-year-old. And she never said what her actual name is. But she was fighting with her stepmom because her stepmom wanted to, like, rename her from this unique name that her mother had given her. And she, because her mom had died at a young age, like, her name, despite being so unique, was very much, like, associated with her mother.
Sure.
And so it was really funny. I was talking to a girlfriend who... Her husband's last name is Coley, who's also a good friend of mine. So C-O-L-L-I.
Okay.
And we were talking about baby names. And she's like, well, you could take my favorite name that we didn't. They had just had a daughter and they named her Thea. So T-H-E-A. But her favorite girl name is Eve. And she's like, well, you can take Eve since we didn't get to use that one. And I was like, why didn't you use Eve? And she goes, because of Coley. I was like, what?
Eve Coley.
E. Coley. She's like, you have to think about everything. You have to think of all the different ways that they're going to make fun of your kid.
And what rhymes, like, and what can rhyme with it.
I was like, what 5 and 6, like, under 10-year-old knows what E. coli is?
We have a text from the 920. Johnny Watermelon, who was one of our one of our Pacific Media colleagues. Johnny Watermelon and I have a sister named Juice and a brother named Red.
No.
Ha ha. However, I know a woman in Hudson, Wisconsin. Her name is Sunny Dafer Salen.
Sunny? I actually don't mind the name Sunny.
Sunny Dafer Salen.
Oh, Sunny Dafer Salen. Oh, my gosh. That's pretty good. That sounds like a Bart Simpson joke. I think Siete, there's another one in here. Siete.
Is a number.
She went to a Spanish school in Texas and was mocked for having a name that means seven.
Oh.
But also, like, Siete, I actually think Siete, if you didn't know that it was the number seven in Spanish, kind of sounds nice.
What I find interesting, though, and from what Andy said, you know, in his son's preschool now, there aren't any Johns and Marks and all of those things. So in another 15 years, 20 years... those will be unique.
I think there will still be lots of Johns and
Roberts.
And I don't know. Well, we joked about that. I remember at the beginning of this congressional session when Republicans started taking over, like, they took over the House. And so for all the House committees, there was new people who were leading those committees. And there was that story that broke that says there's more men named Mike leading House committees than there are women. And I went on my rampage being married to a Mike and having my best friend named Mike and knowing plenty of other Mikes that...
enough Mikes.
There's enough Mikes. There's enough Michaels in the world. We can move on from that name for a little while and everyone will be just fine. There is more names than Michael, John, and Matthew. that was fun. I don't know. I didn't get any new name ideas.
Nothing stuck.
Although I do like Hendrix. So, and that maybe that's not for a girl. Maybe. I don't know. I'll run a bike.
We got some time.
All right. Well, that'll about do it for us today. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Todd Elbow will be here for our roundup of the week, the best, the worst, and the weirdest of headlines and a little headline game. So come back then, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Otherwise, thanks for being part of the show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not her.